Welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, available as always on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. What's going on? It's Lou DiBiase alongside Gino Camilleri here on the Locked On Eagles recap show. The Eagles fall to the Tennessee Titans 26-20 in overtime. What a tough pill to swallow if you're an Eagles fan. What a great win if you're a Tennessee Titans fan. I mean, the back-to-back weeks, you beat a team that was in the conference championship last year in the NFL playoffs. Marcus Mariota with a game-winning touchdown to end the game to Corey Davis. Right, Gino? It was Corey Davis? I was so fired up after the touchdown that I turned the TV off. It was just such a tough game. The Eagles had a 17-3 lead. They blow a 4th-and-19 on the defensive side in overtime, then a 4th-and-4. Sidney Jones looked like he had good coverage, but he held a little on the hips. Pass interference. They had a 4th-and-2 that they couldn't stop. The Titans boldly decided to go for it. And look, I like what Frank Wright said today with the Colts, and I think it was the same mentality with Mike Vrabel and the Titans today. They're not playing to tie this game. They were playing to win the football game. And the Titans, look, the Eagles had this one in the bag. I think they deserved the win, but they also deserve the loss, if you know what I mean, Gino, like in the same right that they got what was coming to them, but at the same time, they should have had this win.
I think Frank Wright said it exactly how it should be, in that you shouldn't play to tie, and you can't play to lose. And I think this was a 2016 Philadelphia Eagles loss. I think there's no other way to put it. Doug Peterson was way too conservative. In my opinion, they played not to lose.
Every time they got in the red zone, it was like they were playing for the field goal.
Dude, every time. It was driving me absolutely bananas. You have Carson, and he was hot as iron today. He was sharp. He was putting balls right on the money, yep. And you're not going to let him have one attempt at the end zone
and
before
Alshon
halftime?
And Ertz were on fire, too, all game. I mean, Aguilar had a 2016 Aguilar performance. It was a little concerning. He had 4 drops. I think the Eagles total had 6 or 7. I know they had 6 heading into the overtime period. So Aguilar didn't have a great game at all. But Alshon Jeffrey surpasses 100 yards receiving. So does Zach Ertz. Yeah, and Carson Wentz. I mean, I guess the positive of this was those three, your main, you know, go-to guys on the offensive side, and then Jay Ajayi ran the football well. I mean, the offense, the players looked good. The offensive line rebounded in the second half, but yeah, Doug Peterson, it's like they were running the football well, getting down the field in the red zone. I think when they were passing and Wentz was actually taking chances, it was working out. You saw that great Alshon Jeffrey touchdown contested, and yet with Doug Peterson's play calling, you're right, it looked back to 2016 where they're throwing behind the line of scrimmage, they're getting timid, and it's one of the reasons that they lost this football game and are now 2-2.
I think you hit it right on the head. This game reminds me a lot of that 2016 Detroit game where they had the game in the bag and they were just way too conservative throughout the game. And not to mention a bunch of other facets that were a lot like that game. You shoot yourself in the foot with all these penalties. They keep doing it game after game. I think they had 2nd and goal from the 25 at one point during the game. Like that's just unacceptable. That can't be happening.
And it's been happening all year.
Oh, I know. It's very concerning. What, they had 8 for 77 today. That's not acceptable. They have 35 accepted penalties on the year, I think it is, and through 4 games, and last year they had 30. That's not a statistic that you want to rise from year to year. You want to contain that. And for a team that is, like, they're a professional team and they're still getting all these penalties. Like they're not just like an unorganized team. They're professionals at all their positions and they're still managing to have penalties. I mean, even Jason Peters is getting holding penalties. That just can't happen. It's just getting out of control, and this is self-inflicted stuff, which is, if you're going to take something out of this, it is a good thing that a majority of this stuff was self-inflicted that you can take away from. But there were other facets that reminded me a lot of that team 2 years ago and that weren't the Super Bowl champion Eagles, but an Eagles team that is going to be average if they continue to do what they did.
Yeah, and it's all self-inflicted. Again, the Eagles fall to the Tennessee Titans 26-23 in overtime. They could easily be 4-0 right now. They could easily be 0-4. It's just tough because all these self-inflicted things, the penalties, the defense, Jim Schwartz, again, failing to adjust and giving a Titans team that's had no vertical offensive game whatsoever this year a 10-yard cushion, as they always do. You know, everyone's going to hate on Jalen Mills, and Jalen Mills had a terrible game once again. He is officially a liability on the outside. The speed factor. Corey Davis isn't even one of the faster receivers in the NFL. I mean, he has some explosion, but that's not really his main thing as a wide receiver. Why the Titans took him in the first round, it's certainly a part of it. And Jalen Mills just got blown out on the outside. But Ronald Darby on the other side, it just seems like he's terrified to not only make a tackle, but also he's terrified to get burned deep. He heads for the hills every time it seems like a Titans player is running a deep route, and he gets burned every single time. The two outside corners had a really bad game. I thought Sidney Jones played really well once again. He did get beat on that touchdown. That was a tough one. You know, the pass interference was tough. But look, Sidney Jones is easily their best corner right now on the field, and he's only played in four games in his career. But I think that's to the level we are. And a lot of this goes on Jim Schwartz, though. You do not adjust. And then Corey Graham on that 4th and 19, why are you pressing on the line of scrimmage? The one time I think you should actually be playing back, then you have the targeted receiver. The defender is pressing him at the line. He gets blown out because he's a 33-year-old safety that doesn't have the athleticism. And if he misses on that punch, he's not going to have the recovery to get back. It was just, man, one of the most aggravating games I've watched in quite some time. I mean, even last week with the Colts was like that, the Tampa Bay game. Because, again, like you said, it's all self-inflicted. And you're just thinking, man, this team is better than this. And we've seen they've had an opportunity every single game to win it. They've done it twice of the four. But again, honestly, they could be 4-0. And that's what's so frustrating about this is we see a team like the Rams taking full advantage of their personnel. And, you know, you look at that and you're looking at the Eagles right now and it's like, man, Wentz is playing well. The offense, we have everyone back healthy on offense. But there's just so many combinations, and it's, again, all self-inflicted to me. You got to give props to the Titans, though. I mean, Marcus Mariota, when the fourth quarter comes and when the Titans need a play to be made, Marcus Mariota steps up to the challenge every single time. I was extremely impressed with the Titans, and I think they put the NFL on notice today.
I agree 100% with the Titans. I mean, they beat the Jags last week, held them to 6 points, which is thoroughly impressive, and they come out and beat the Super Bowl champs this week. They're a good team. I've been high on them. I know you've been high on them as well. Yep. They have three really good young receivers. They have three talented cornerbacks, even though Malcolm Butler definitely got picked on by Alshon Jeffery and the rest of the receiving
corps. And Jordan Matthews, but, too. I mean, Matthews beat him on that outside, that touchdown. I mean, Matthews has been used on the outside a lot, and yet Aguilar, though, is still struggling inside. That was what was tough about today, too, was, you know, the offense, it was a great story if they won the game. It's Wentz outduels Marcus Mariota, and Jordan Matthews scores a touchdown. The all-business celebration's back, but, you know, Aguilar, too, is just, there's so many tough stories on here to swallow for this game.
First things first, I'm putting 0% of the blame on Carson Wentz in this game. He was picking targets out from miles away and just rifling it in there. The one throw to Aguilar that he dropped that hit him right in the face mask. He hit him in the face mask from 30 some odd yards out. That was just super impressive. And the first play of the game, he took a shot to him, hits him right in the hands. He needs to make that catch. But man, outside of Carson, that offense was just, I can't explain it. The offensive line,
they couldn't pick up a blitz to save their life.
They can't pick up a stunt to save their lives. I just don't get it. Death taxes and the Eagles' offensive line not being able to pick up stunts and Jalen Mills getting beat on double moves are two things that you can set in stone every single week. They can't pick up stunts. I don't know it. They have good communication. They're a cohesive unit. They're one of the best offensive lines in the league, but they just continue to do it. And you have a quarterback who is just coming back from tearing his ACL.
And he's taken a beating in the past two games.
And he's taken a beating. You can't let that happen. I don't care who you are. One of those guys has to step up and say, okay, enough on Carson. He's doing his job. Now it's time to do our job. And those guys didn't do it. The receiving corps, outside of Aguilar, they all played pretty well. I'll give them that. Jay Ajayi ran hard. Smallwood stepped up. He got yards after contact when they needed to. Just the offensive line let them down. It was super disappointing. How many times have we seen over the past couple weeks Carson taking a three-step drop and a guy on a free blitz just coming right through and nobody even putting a hand on him? It happened at least twice today, and I know it happened at least once last game. It's it's getting frustrating. There's no other way to put it. This offensive line is frustrating, and I don't know if it's Jason Peters coming back from last year. They're not super cohesive. I don't know what is going on, but they need to do something. And then moving to the defensive side of the ball, once again, defensive line does their job like they need to. Michael Bennett came out of the gate hot. Fletcher Cox played solid as always.
Derek Barnett with another sack.
Another sack. This defense has to tackle. I think that is one of the things that kills them. I know that Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby are not super great in coverage right now. Something needs to change there, but not tackling is going to kill you against any team that you play. You have to take guys down in the open field. I'll give it to Malcolm Jenkins. He was taking guys down when he was making plays that.
On that final overtime drive, he gave the Eagles four more chances than they should have to be able to win that football game. Every time,
and the rest of the defense just lost the game for him.
Mariota would extend a play and get the first down, and then the next play, Jenkins comes up with a tackle for a loss of like 4 yards and backs him back up. It would have been like a 58-yard field goal, and then Corey Graham or Ronald Darby can't finish a tackle, and it screws him over once again. But Malcolm Jenkins, he had a good game. There were a lot of people in this game that stepped up, but there was too much of the same inconsistencies from the same players that we've seen so far this year with the offensive line, with the cornerbacks. But also, a big part of this, too, is Mariota extending plays with his legs. The Eagles got a taste of their own medicine this week. Carson Wentz very prone to doing exactly what Marcus Mariota did today with the Eagles. The difference is Marcus Mariota is probably the fastest quarterback in the NFL this year. Like Jim Schwartz even said, when he gets out on the edge and he's pulling you in, and there's receivers crossing with him, it's very hard to defend, especially when he was in takeover mode at the end of that game. You know, you could kind of just tell he was in baller mode, and it was really tough to stop. But for the offensive line, I thought they did better in the second half. I thought for the run, I thought they played well. Against the pass, though, you cannot afford, especially coming off the injury, Carson Wentz cannot take that kind of beating. Coming up next, we got the Minnesota Vikings. And look, they've struggled the past couple weeks, but they have a talented front seven. And you better be ready for that, because eventually Carson Wentz keeps taking these hits. It's only a matter of time before he suffers an injury of some sort. And you need him upright. I mean, we've seen what he's done just these past two games that they're not even playing for a snap of football for, you know, months. What was it? 9 months exactly. So, and he already looks back into 2017 form. The offensive line has to protect him. Yeah, and I don't know what it is. You know, they have their entire offensive line intact. Jason Peters coming back from the injury last year, but yeah, they looked lost at times. Like they didn't know what to do. The Titans were just throwing a lot at them that they just couldn't combat.
You have to give it to the Titans' defensive line, too. I mean, Drell Casey is one of the best defensive tackles that isn't talked about in this league. Their linebacking core is good. They have a great young safety in Kevin Byard. Their corners are good. It's not a bad team. It's just we know the Eagles are better than them, you know? And that's what's the frustrating part is that we've seen them play great on the offensive line, pick up stunts, communicate well, pass guys off. They've done great on defense, tackling when they need to, getting off the field on third down, and this is the quintessential 2016 Philadelphia Eagles game. This is exactly what happened 2 years ago, and it's very unfortunate that it had to happen this way, but if you're going to look at it in any positive light out of this game, you have to hope that this game was the punch in the face that they needed. Like you said, they're two plays away from being 0-4, you know? They need to step up and say, okay, we can't be battling every game. We can't be shooting ourselves in the foot. We can't be letting Carson get hit. We can't be giving teams extended drives, not getting in off the field on third down. We have to play like champions. Like we have to make plays. In overtime, who is there to step up and make a play? I mean, Malcolm Jenkins made plays, but where's the guys getting to the quarterback? Where are the cornerbacks making plays and getting interception? Somebody has to step up, and that's what was happening in games last year that isn't really happening out in the losses this year, you know? I hope it's the punch in the face they needed. I hope they get on track. I mean, the great thing is Carson, he does play well, and he does rise all other ships, as the saying goes, but there are some parts of this team that really drag them down, and it's not sustainable to play like that for to keep getting all these penalties and not tackling, and it's just frustrating. I really am gonna hate watching this game over again to see
it's gonna be
how many
week.
Missed opportunities they had, but man, oh man, this game.
Yep.
I hope they wake up next week and get back to Lincoln Financial Field at the right time and play like we know that they can play.
It's going to be a long week as we gear up for the Minnesota Vikings next week. The Eagles fall 26-23 in overtime against the Tennessee Titans today in Nashville. Let's take a break here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. When we come back, we'll continue to recap the heartbreaker in Nashville. That's coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Eagles fans around the globe, welcome back to the show. Gino Camilleri and myself, Louis DiBiase, recapping the Eagles' 26-23 loss in Tennessee to Marcus Mariota and the Titans. Gino, I guess a positive spin, again, that we were trying to bring up at the end of the first segment was, you know, Carson Wentz playing some really good football right now. Alshon Jeffrey comes back, and I never want to hear again that he's not a wide receiver one, because that guy going up against contested balls one-on-one, that's the hardest guy to stop, you know, in that right. And even run after the catch ability today, late in the fourth quarter and in overtime, he took over. That's a part two to Alshon Jeffrey's game.
I've never seen him on a screen pass, right, like successfully run it.
That doesn't show up in the stats, but the past 2 years, like I talked about with Mariota, on the Eagles side, when the game is on the line and you have to make a play outside of Zach Ertz, Alshon Jeffrey is that guy. Last year we saw it. He steps out of bounds with 1 second left, a big reception against the Giants week three. You know, you saw it in the playoffs against the Minnesota Vikings with those two touchdowns in the Super Bowl. He sets the tone with that touchdown against Eric Rowe. Even in against the Rams, you know, I mean, he had a torn rotator cuff the entire season. And against the Rams, he scores a touchdown to take the lead again in the fourth quarter. And then today, you saw what he did in the fourth quarter and in overtime, surpassing 100 yards in his first game back. He was dealing with a virus all week. Alshon Jeffrey is a wide receiver one, and I guess that's a good part, is that, look, the personnel on offense today looked really good. The skill positions with Jay Ajayi, he ran well. Wendell Smallwood, another week, impressive stuff from him at the running back position. You know, and then you have Alshon and you have Ertz. Hopefully Dallas Goedert can get more involved, and hopefully we have a bounce back here from Nelson Agholor. I don't know if it's – I saw some people tweeting out maybe it's just Jordan Matthews, that every time Jordan Matthews is around, Nelson Agholor is terrible, but he did not look good today. He could have easily had that big deep bomb on the first play of the game on offense for the Eagles. That might have been a touchdown if he gets that and starts breaking loose. And then he had three other really bad drops that were important plays. Some of them were for big key first downs. Hopefully he steps up, but I guess that's the positive is, look, they have their quarterback playing really well right now. He's got all his weapons back, and if the defense can stay consistent and stop shooting themselves in the foot, then we have something going for this season, you know, against the Minnesota Vikings, hoping for a rebound next week. The defense always does play better at home. That's something we can look forward to. I'm not really concerned with the defense as a whole. It's really just the secondary right now, and I thought, Gino, we had it solved, you know, because how many years have we been dealing with an inept secondary, and now it seems like, again, it's a flaw, it's a liability of this defense outside of Sidney Jones and Malcolm Jenkins. I mean, three guys right now, I am concerned, could kill this defense right now in this Eagles season with Darby Mills and Corey Graham.
I think the Rodney McLeod loss
is going to be big.
It's huge. They don't have the personnel to fill in for him right now. Corey Graham cost them the game in that overtime period.
And he knows
there's
it too.
He
said it in his press conference.
He did. And to be a veteran who's won multiple Super Bowls and to make a boneheaded play like that, it's unexplained. You can't explain it. I really don't know what to say. How do you abandon the zone there when all you know he has? You have to keep him 15 yards in front of the first
and
down
normally
marker.
The Eagles in those situations always have that line where they're forming with the secondary where they're just at the sticks and you're like, okay, you're
and
not
you
getting
don't
by.
Move. And you can do not move.
You can have your 10-yard reception and we're going to get you down, but you're not getting past the sticks. and why he was so far up at the line of scrimmage. I don't know if it was a mental error or what they were doing, but again, it's just sometimes you're just pounding on the floor. Like, what is the defense doing, specifically the secondary? Avante Maddox today was getting a lot of looks at safety, Gino. He came up with a big interception late in the second half, but then the Titans picked on him against Corey Davis late in that game. You know, Maddox was in coverage on that go-ahead game-winning touchdown. He did slip, but they caught him there. They caught the rookie. I thought Maddox had an up-and-down game. I thought it was interesting to see him playing safety. I thought maybe if they were going to do that, they were going to consider doing it with Rasul Douglas. Maybe Jalen Mills, who they might want to reconsider doing with that now. What are we going to do with Jalen Mills, though? Because Jim Schwartz loves him. Everyone knows Jalen Mills is one of Jim Schwartz's favorite players on this team. He trusts him. And he's had a good career to start so far for the Eagles. But the same problem is getting this team over and over again with Mills. And the specific one is biting on the double move. And he did it again a couple times today. Eventually, everyone knows now, opposing offenses are going to exploit that. To me, if I was Doug Peterson, I'd be going to Jim Schwartz and being like, Sidney Jones has got to get on the outside. And I would consider maybe giving a look at Mills back at safety, because again, Corey Graham also is a liability, and today Gino Earl Thomas, people thought was a potential trade candidate for the Eagles, he got hurt. He got carted off today in Seattle's game with Arizona, so there goes an option if you wanted to fix your safety problem this year. It's not a good look right now for the Eagles secondary, and I know they had a bounce back game against the Colts, but I mean, there really wasn't anyone that they had to go up against in that game regardless.
It's going to be difficult to replace Rodney McLeod. That's plain and simple. Do I think they have enough to do it with what they have on the team? No. Was Earl Thomas the idea candidate to replace a Rodney McLeod for a second-round pick? I'd say so, but now that's not an option. They have to look elsewhere. I don't care if it's bringing in a free agent, finding somebody that's buried on the depth chart somewhere on another team. You can't have Avante Maddox playing single high safety for you. Just plain and simple, you can't. He is a playmaker. He has done well. He had that interception today. But when you're in big moments, on the last touchdown in overtime today, like, he was on the field and it cost him. He just bad coverage. I don't know, but they have to do something to adjust it. And
would they consider Mills at this? I mean, I know they're probably not going to. But like, if it was me, I'm moving Jalen Mills at safety. I'm throwing Sidney Jones out wide. He is the best corner on this team, and I'm putting Maddox inside. That's probably what I'm doing at this point, because I can't afford to have Mills getting burned on the outside anymore, and I can't afford to have Corey Graham as our lone safety in the backfield. If we still want to use Jenkins at dime linebacker, moving him around, covering tight ends and running backs, we need Jenkins to still be that Swiss Army knife, and I just don't trust Corey Graham alone back there, especially with Jalen Mills already on the outside. I've kind of gone sour on Mills the past couple of weeks just based on he does a lot of good things for this team, but that one liability is a dagger for this defense, and it's been for the entire season, basically.
Here begins my rant on Jalen Mills.
Go for it.
He has all the confidence in the world. You've seen that. He wags his finger.
Even when they drop passes that he gets burned on.
But at what point do you not learn that you have been beaten on the same move over and over and over and over and over again for the past two seasons, and you are going to do nothing, absolutely nothing to combat that? You are not going to – you have to learn a new technique or something. You can't keep getting beat on the same move over and over and over again. They tell you not to practice your strengths but to practice your weaknesses. As a defensive coordinator as experienced as Jim Schwartz, he has to know better to look Jalen Mills in the eye and say, you need to do something about this. I don't know what it is. I've never played cornerback. I can't tell you the correct – what he's supposed to do to play that better. But you know they are going to do that every single game, and they have done it every single game to him. And how many times does he get beat? At least once. He got lucky in overtime that they dropped the pass. He's costing them games, and like you said, he is a liability at this point. Whether it's getting burned, getting stupid penalties, it's just unacceptable. And I'm not letting Ronald Darby off the hook at all either.
No, I was more frustrated with Darby than Mills, because I expect this from Mills at this point. Darby, the way he is not only tackling, it's always been a weak point of Darby's game, but the way he's covering again today, it was just, he was 15 yards away from the receiver. It seemed like every time there was a target his way. He has not played well since week one.
I cannot stand when guys are 15 yards off the ball and the receiver gets it and manages to burn them. If you're going to line up 15 yards off the ball, you can't let a guy get behind
you. Right, they're getting
beat
playing off.
And they're getting beat playing off coverage. If you're going to get beat, play man. What are you doing?
Right, at least take a shot by trying to jam him at the line.
At least try to jam him. It's something. Don't play off. It's like looking at a strikeout. Like, at least swing the bat, you know? At least make an attempt to play.
With Darby, too, because he's got the closing speed that I would take having Darby playing press or just closer to the line of scrimmage, and if he gets beat, I trust that he can get back, whereas with Jalen Mills, I don't as much. But you got to do something because both of these guys are getting beat regardless, and they're still playing 10 yards off the ball.
It's just unacceptable, and I know Corey Graham is going to take the blame for that 4th and 15, 19, whatever you want to call it, but Ronald Darby saw that coverage broke down, and he did not make an effort to go towards the wide receiver. Like, you have to know where the first down marker is and get there. You have to make a play. This goes back to what I was saying before. You have to make a play in that scenario. Like, it's unacceptable. I hate the off coverage. I cannot stand it. I know Jalen Mills, he has to do it because his foot speed isn't great enough, but nothing he's doing is working. At some point, I just say you bench him at some point for at least like a quarter or something. Get his head out of his ass. Sorry to be blunt about it, but I feel it's just unacceptable. And you have guys on the bench that have made plays like Rasul Douglas. That why isn't he getting out there? Give the kid a chance. Like, he stepped up. He did it against Atlanta. He did it last year when guys were out. Like, you have the ability to put other players in, and when guys aren't stepping up like Mills has, I'm sorry to keep bashing him, but you have to do something. You can't just keep letting him get away with making bad plays and bad penalties. It is literally killing the team.
Right,
it is unacceptable, and they have to do something about it now.
And I think the Twitter hate of Jalen Mills is always to an extreme. I think he has a role on this defense.
Oh, I agree,
not,
too.
It's
but
not
you
an
have
outside
to do
corner.
Something about it.
No, I agree. And that's what I'm frustrated with. It's more so Jim Schwartz. You have to know what you have in Jalen Mills, and you got to be like, he's more suited inside right now, or I actually need him at safety. And I hate the fact that they don't want to move Rasul Douglas or Jalen Mills because they see them as corners. But, I mean, you did it today with Avante Maddox, and just because you move a guy at safety to try to fix the short-term problems right now, it doesn't mean Rasul Douglas can't play outside corner next year when Darby eventually leaves, because there's no way I'm giving that guy a contract after what we've seen so far in the first month of the season. So, that's what you got to do. Is I don't want Mills off this team, and I think Twitter takes it to a level that is uncalled for, but you have to know on the outside right now, offenses are going to take their shot at him at least six times in a game, and they're going to convert at least two or three big ones, and they could be in key situations of the game. And that's your job as a defensive coordinator to notice that and say, we got to change that up. But it's, again, the continued stubbornness of Jim Schwartz, the failure to adapt. And he did it a little bit against the Colts. I like what he did with the secondary, getting them closer to the line, but there wasn't a lot of weapons on that Colts offense to really scare you. And there shouldn't have been today, but Marcus Mariota was the weapon, and he was exploiting Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby. It's tough. If you had to ask me, I'm throwing Jones on the outside. I'm putting Maddox in the slot and probably Mills at safety. Or, look, if you still want Mills as one of your corners, give Rasul a chance at safety. I trust him more single high than Avante Maddox. I just didn't like the job or the ideas that the defense had today in the secondary, and it was a tough one to swallow. Let's take one more break. Gino Camilleri and myself, Louis DiBiase, recapping the Eagles' 26-23 loss in Nashville, Tennessee. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, welcome back, everybody, as we wrap up the show. Eagles fall 26-23. They're now 2-2 on the year. They take on the Minnesota Vikings next week at 4 o'clock. Then they take on the New York Giants on Thursday Night Football. The schedule gets tough because then they go Carolina, then they go Jacksonville, they play the Saints still. The schedule is only going to get harder, and they lost two of the games that I thought were pretty much locks to be W's. What's your overall feeling of this team right now 1 month into the season at 2-2. A really nice win against Atlanta in the season opener. Tough one in Tampa Bay you lost. You get a close finish in Philly against Indianapolis with the win, and then today a heartbreaker in Tennessee. It's been a roller coaster of a season already for me. What's your feeling so far as a whole right now? How are you feeling about the outlook of this 2018 season for the Eagles?
I'm concerned. I really am. This is not the best place I thought this team could be. I thought we could be 4-0 through the first four games. We caught a hot Tampa Bay team. We're caught off guard by them. We caught a resilient Tennessee team, and we were two plays away from losing to a beat-up Falcons team and a beat-up Indianapolis team. I mean, Ruben Frank just tweeted this, and I want to address this because I think this is huge, and I think this points back to my concern is that the Eagles have now allowed 24 or more points in five straight road games. That's the fourth longest streak in franchise history, with the years being 1968 that had happened, 1973, 2010, and do you know what else, other year that happened to be? 2016.
There you go.
This team reminds me of that 2016 Eagles team, and it's not going to get any easier. If they want to win against the Saints, against the Rams, against the Jaguars, against the Vikings, against premier teams in this league, they cannot do what they have done today or the past three games. One, they need to clean up their defense on the road. You can win a division by having a bad road record, but you're not going to have home field advantage. And if you need that home field advantage to play good defense, you better figure something out in the regular season to turn that around, because you're going to play the Rams, whose offense is red hot right now, with a Brandon Cooks who I'm sure could beat Jalen Mills on a double move every single time. Tell him that it's going to happen. And it's, he could look at him in the eyes, tell him that he's going to hit him with a double move and still beat him with that double move. And I'm that confident that they could just absolutely annihilate us. This defense has to pick it up. I'm fine with the defensive line, but one, the stubbornness of Jim Schwartz is just driving me irate at this point. You have to do something. And at what point does Doug address that? You know, that's something that needs to change and fast.
Doug last week was saying Jalen Mills is having a great season, so I feel like Doug is on Schwartz's side. I don't feel like Doug, you know, has the, I don't want to say the nerve to do it, but I don't know if Doug would overstep Jim Schwartz and come in and say, you need to do something about Jalen Mills. I don't know if that's the relationship, the dynamic. I feel it like it's Jim Schwartz handles the defense, Doug handles the offense. I don't know. It's the dynamic I feel. Jim Schwartz is a very, you know, very powerful-minded person, a very egocentric guy. And he's confident. I shouldn't say egocentric, but most coaches are. You got to be in this business. But I don't know if Doug would even maybe try to do that.
I don't even think it's going to the extent of just benching Mills.
Or just making an adjustment.
You have to adjust how your corners are playing. You have to adjust the secondary. Maybe you throw more blitzes in there, try to break things up, try to hit home on something up, because what you're doing is not working right now. And you can't just keep trying to put a square peg into a round hole. It's just getting bad at this point. And Earl Thomas just fractured his leg. Like, you're not going to get any reinforcements outside of this team. Like, you have to make it work with what you have, and you have to do it fast. This Minnesota game, it could get ugly if you don't adjust. Stephon Diggs could have a heyday, and same with Adam Thielen. This could be bad, and I'm confident in the offense. And if you don't start tackling, if you don't quit it with the penalties, and you don't play good coverage, you're going to get torn apart by any team that has any capable quarterback and wide receiving core. And I'm very concerned, because last year the defense was winning games. They were shutting teams down, getting off the field on third down and fourth down. And it's just not happening this year. And I know circumstances change. You're down Timmy Jernigan. You lost Vinnie Curry, Bo Allen, the whole gamut of other players. But you have talent. You have talent. You still have Fletcher Cox. You still have Brandon Graham. You still have Chris Long. You still have Derek Barnett. You still have Michael Bennett, Jordan Hicks. The list goes on and on. On paper, this team should be much better than what they are right now. And to say I'm concerned would be a little bit of an understatement, because I know how good they are. And The thing is, when they're off their game, they are very much so off their game. And if they're on their game, they're very much so on their game. And there's not a lot of room for error when you're in the National Football League. So they better figure it out as soon as possible to be on their game every single game. It's not 2017 anymore. You're not the Super Bowl champs anymore. This is a brand new season. Figure it out fast. And that's from the top to the bottom of that team. They need to do something, and now.
Yeah, I'm with you. And look, it's only going to get tougher. And they play a Minnesota Vikings team this week that went toe-to-toe on offense with the Rams last week. So the NFC, with the Vikings, even they're 1-2-1. But even the way they played on offense last game, you know, I trust that Kirk Cousins can choke in the fourth quarter like he normally does. But regardless, I mean, the Vikings are going to be motivated coming into the link and wanting to avenge that NFC Championship blowout. So they have to come back. They can't get complacent this week. And hopefully you can get the good Carson Wentz that they've been getting the past 2 weeks. Wentz today in a game that he took a pounding, still finished with 344 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks, a 99.4 passer rating. And that's his second game coming back this season. So, look, that's the thing we got to take out of this is Carson Wentz. He's got to win us a game. And I think he did that against the Colts. He nearly did it today. There was just too much to overcome. And that's the thing is you just got to limit some of these mistakes, you know, with the penalties and with the offensive line. And they got to do it now because this is a must-win game this week against Minnesota, Gino. And, you know, you can't afford to go 2-3 in this season. That would be a tough blow. But, you know, Marcus Mariota, by the way, today, that win was for Chip Kelly, huh? How much did Chip Kelly probably want the Titans to win that game? Mariota taking out Carson Wentz and Howie Roseman's boy. I don't know if Chip was watching, but that had to be a little extra incentive, a little extra smile on Chip's face if he saw that.
Yeah, it just proves that Mariota's a hell of a player. I mean, he had that little injury with his hand, and he made plays. Those guys stepped up. I got to give it to them. They impressed me. After the first half, when they looked putrid, they started getting the game plan rolling. They took advantage of the Eagles' weaknesses. I mean, hats off to them. But getting back to the Minnesota game, I mean, it is a must win. You got 4 tough games coming up before the bye. You got Minnesota, the Giants, Panthers, and Jags. Those are all going to be tough games, and they could get ugly as well, but hopefully you improve on the penalties, hopefully you improve on your tackling, and hopefully they adjust on defense. Just something needs to change, and to look at it in a good light, Carson Wentz is still playing at an MVP level. He is sharper than ever, I feel. The Aguilar thing, I hope it was just a one-game problem. Alshon is dominant.
Psychological thing. I don't want him back in that hole he was a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's going to be. You know, he's been making plays this year for the most part as well. And, you know, there's been some plays even left on the field because of overthrows by Nick Foles this year and just other stuff, people missing him on the field. So hopefully it was just a one-game thing. But I'm not panicking yet. I mean, they are still 2-2. And to me, I'm encouraged because a lot of the main guys are playing really well still right now, and it's just it's some sloppiness that they gotta fix. And I think hopefully that starts at home this week. If any, like, this is a roster of Super Bowl champions last year that have been through these kind of situations. So look, if any team's gonna get out of this, it's the Eagles, and hopefully they do it this week. Gino, thanks for joining me on the show today. I know, not a great one. I wish we were talking about an Eagles win in Tennessee, because even with all this being said, if they could have pulled out another one at 3-1, good teams find ways to win games, and they almost did it again today, which, again, is kind of impressive considering everything they had to overcome. They still almost won this football game, and they probably should have.
Yeah, that's the promising thing, is that if you could just clean up those little things, you're going to be on your way to scoring, getting back to scoring 30-some-odd points a game and allowing under 20.
I think today was the offense's, like, it was the coming-out party for this year, even with the offensive line struggling. Because once that gets going, too, and the play calls hopefully get less conservative and Doug kind of starts wheeling a little bit like he did last year and really pushing it, and getting more consistent with it, because there were some good calls today, and I think they made plays on offense. Once it gets more consistent, I think the offense is really going to start getting going in the month of October.
I think they're going to get cranking too, and like you said, they're just a couple squeaky wheels away from being that cohesive unit like we saw. Like, if that offensive line dominates today, things could have got ugly because those receivers were getting open. I mean, Carson passed for 300 some odd yards. Like that, they were getting the looks that they needed to, but once again, you turn the ball over within your own 30-yard line. Like, that doesn't help you at all. Like, those are little things that need to change. Like, that stemmed from the offensive line. But things are clicking. Carson's looking great. Elshon, he was playing on a virus, too. Like, he wasn't even at 100%, you know? So he's only going to get better, which is crazy to think about. And I think they're going to get clicking real soon. Ertz, we haven't even mentioned his name, really took that game over at first. He had over 100-some-odd yards.
Just doing his thing.
Dominated the middle of the field. They kind of got away for him late, which kind of was frustrating. But yeah, like, they're only a couple squeaky wheels away and little intricacies away from being that dominant team, like we said.
They're only a few plays away from being that, you know, we said they're a few plays away from being an 0-4 team, but again, glass half full, they're only a few plays away also from being a 4-0 team. So, you know, we got to look at it that way as well.
Yeah, you're not wrong at all. I mean, it goes back to what I wrote about the one-score games. It's going to happen, and you have
to come out.
Just wish
it wouldn't be every week.
Yeah, no. I'm sick of that. I mean, would I like to see a mauling of Minnesota like we saw in late January again? Yeah, I definitely would. But you're going to win. You're going to have to find ways to win scrappy games, and the key with winning scrappy games is that the more sound team wins those games. Look at Tennessee down the stretch. They were down 17-3, didn't falter, didn't get stupid penalties. I mean, they did in overtime, but they were able to recollect themselves and make a big stop when they needed to. And that's a winning formula, you know, and we just happen to be on the opposite side of that formula today. And
absolutely.
We've seen in the past what it takes to win. Am I overly concerned? No, but I am. There is concern. Am I pressing the panic button? Not by any means. As long as the Ginger Jesus is still under center, I am not pressing the panic button, but things got to turn around, like I've said, and 2-2, things could be worse.
All right, that's going to do it. Well said, Gino. We wrap up the show. The Eagles fall 26-23 in overtime to the hands of Marcus Mariota and the Tennessee Titans. They improved to 3-1. The Eagles now 2-2. We'll be back tomorrow for a second look, stock up, stock down edition of the show. One last look at Tennessee, and then on Tuesday, we'll move on to a big Week 5 matchup against the Minnesota Vikings. Gino, thanks for joining me. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening to the show. Follow us on Twitter at DiBiaseLOE, at Gino_LOE, and at LockedOnBirds. We are officially up and running on Twitter. Check out our stuff at LockedOnEagles.com. And please subscribe to the podcast. Leave some 5-star reviews. Appreciate the fans listening. And hopefully we get a win next week. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow. Let's go, Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.